All right, well, good morning. And this pile has grown quite a bit. I was here this morning, and I think it almost doubled. So good job, children. So this is a very exciting day that we get to send these boxes around the world. Do you see how the box has wings on it? It's going to fly around the world to some child somewhere. Maybe in China, maybe in Iraq, Africa. So anyway, all of you children, whoever helped pack the box, or you would want to just come up here and pray for a box, I'm going to invite you in a minute. Matt's going to help me. You can each get a box and hold it. So some of you kids can pray for the children. They're going to receive a box. So I'll help Matt. If you want to come up here, get a box, and then you can sit on the first row and then on the floor, okay? So you kids can come. Any other children that want to come up? No, we'll start to pray. So, you guys want to tell me what you put in your box? Now, you're probably not holding the box that you packed, but what did you put in your box that you think the children are really going to like?
I think the ball, a ball that glows up. I put in a puppy.
A puppy?
I put in a really bouncy ball.
A really bouncy ball. Anybody else want to say what they put in their box?
Hat.
Hat.
A hat? That's a good one.
Markers.
Markers.
A jump rope.
A jump rope. All right.
Jump rope.
I put a purse in.
A purse?
Yeah, that has like crayons in it. A colorful book.
Wow. All right. Well, this is a special opportunity that you can pack your very own gift and send it to the other side of the world. That's a great opportunity. How many of you remember a special birthday that you got a special gift? You remember that? I remember those. Very special. You know, it makes you feel, happy, I guess would be the best word, when you receive a gift. So you all can send a gift to children on the other side of the world. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give somebody a gift than to receive a gift. So right now, if we would say, you know what, we're not going to send these gifts. We're going to just open them here and play with the toys. That would be kind of a weird feeling. We pack these gifts for other kids, right? Other kids that might not get birthday gifts like you guys do. So we're going to pray that God would guide these boxes to the children that can use them and that they would learn to follow Jesus as well. So I'm going to ask you, if you want to pray, just raise your hand, okay? So if you want to pray, just raise your hand, just say a short prayer. And then, Matt, maybe you'll say the final prayer, okay? So we will start with Braden. You can pray first. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to pray for these boxes.
Dear God, I help the kids that are in different countries that don't get gifts and help the boxes to get there and get there safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, I thank you for all the children, and I pray that they would have a good time and be thankful for what they have, and that I pray that the gifts could come to them fast. Amen.
Dear God, thank you that we could pack these gifts for different children in different countries, and that the boxes could get there safely, and that they would be happy with all the things that were in the boxes.
God, I thank you for the boxes that we have. I thank you that we could have a... Thank you that they could travel all over the world to different kids, and I pray that they could have a good time with their toys. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear God, I pray that these boxes would really be a light to the kids, and that, yeah, they would enjoy the stuff that we put in them, and, yeah, thank you that us kids had fun packing them, and yeah, I just pray that your hand would guide the boxes as they go.
All right, this is the last one.
I hope to have a good gift and could be surprised with these gifts, and we can have a good time giving them out to people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you for the faith of these children and that they had fun packing these boxes and the opportunity that it brings. And I pray that each prayer would be answered that was prayed this morning and has been prayed over these boxes, that miracles will be done and that children's lives would be changed. In Jesus' name.
All right, thank you, children. So we're going to stack the boxes back up here. And then as soon as church is over, if you want to help load the boxes, I have my truck right outside that exit door. So right after church, you can come up here, get a box. I'll be over by the door, and we'll load them up. But for now, we'll stack them back up here.
Went into the third, fourth, and fifth and sixth grade classes and gave the children an opportunity to sing, so whoever wanted to could join this little choir. So these are the courageous girls who said that they would do this. I'm so happy and pleased with them, for the time, the effort, and the energy that they've brought into this. So we picked the songs weeks ago, and then this week I was reading 1 Chronicles 29. I'm just going to read this in opening for these. We're going to sing three worship songs, and we want you to praise God with us and worship God with us. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name."
God and King, His love endures forever. What's that?
Are you thankful for Penn State?
I'm thankful for Penn State.
Awesome. What
are you thankful for? I'm thankful for my wife.
Okay, perfect.
What am I thankful for? Wow. Probably the touch of the Master's hand.
I am thankful for a God that is kind of solid in the middle of craziness. Like being a farmer this year, the weather's all messed up, and we still harvest wheat around the 4th of July, even when it was planted late. We still had little windows to harvest hay. Just really thankful for that in the middle of a crazy year.
You. We're thankful for you.
Excellent. Anything else?
I've got that colors. Colors. Fall colors. The rainbow.
Okay.
Because of my bed.
I'm so thankful for my little friendly Caroline.
No camera, please. No camera, please. On.
I need one of you to say
John, you're so obnoxious.
I'm thankful for Conrad.
Conrad, what's excellent.
Jared, I'm thankful for you.
That is just adorable.
This little guy right here, my brother-in-law, he's pretty cool.
You, John.
I'm very thankful for the older people and the wisdom they give our church.
Yeah, he was actually telling me something that he wants
to
say.
I'm just rolling, so no. What are you thankful for?
You?
Yeah. I'm so mad.
Come on, there's plenty of things on the
I'm thankful for friends like Trent, who I can rant to about people like Andre.
Awesome. I feel pretty healthy.
Excellent.
So I'm thankful for good health.
For my family.
Perfect.
I'm thankful for my friends.
I'm thankful for having a great place to work and I have great co-workers.
Alright, you guys can just say you're thankful for David. Thankful for your girlfriend, right?
I am thankful for my girlfriend.
For my loved one, yeah.
I'm thankful for Weston. Yeah, he's just a great guy.
Solid all-around guy.
Yeah, always great attitude.
Okay.
Loves life.
No.
Loves the camera.
Cannot touch that.
Look at that. It's like a teddy bear on there. It's like, why does he have a teddy bear on your camera, Dad?
So nobody volunteered of our entire church. We don't have a single volunteer. And that's the only people that are left. So it's not looking very promising that we're going to have a single volunteer for to be on camera. I had to basically force everybody to, which is cool.
I'm thankful for hunting.
Excellent. I am as well.
Yep.
Down for everyone that behind us. Well, on the table behind us.
I gotta think. You ain't putting that on. You ain't putting that on. I'm thankful for my wife.
Perfect.
And my daughter.
I'm thankful for four-wheel drive. My beautiful vehicle here. You can see here. So, that's what I'm thankful for. As well as this little guy.
Alright, wasn't that good? No volunteers in the whole church, eh, John? Thank you for doing that. And thanks, girls, for singing. That was really good. Enjoyed that a lot. And the boxes. Did we count them, Arlen?
Not yet.
Not yet. We will. Okay, great. Maybe we'll get that in the bulletin for next week. Alright. We're going to move into our sharing time, and we asked Norman and Jay and Kathy to share just how the Lord has met them this past year, and through good and through some hard things. And then after that, we'd like to invite those of you who'd like to share how the Lord has met you. So we're going to have a mic to hand around. So we're going to start with Norman. Where's Norman? Norman, there he is. Come on up.
I count it a privilege to be a part of this special program this morning. It's good to see you. Look into your faces. You look like you're anticipating something. I hope I won't disappoint you. My assignment, as I got it, was what is one of the most things you were most thankful for in the past year? A little over almost 400 years ago, in the summer of 1621, our fledgling pilgrim forefathers met in that summer to give thanks for preserving them through a long, hard winter in which a lot of them died. And yet they gathered in the spirit of thanksgiving. Think for a moment. Your circumstances here this morning and their circumstances in that occasion. Today, we have so much, maybe too much. Our society is a little like the little lad that was walking down the street, and the lady saw him and gave him an apple, and he grabbed it and began eating it. And someone who was observing said to the lad, "Now what do you say?" And he thought a while and he said, "Give me another or I'll bop you over the head." We have a lot of people just like that today. So, do you realize that this Thanksgiving, there are many people in the world who are just as thankful for a bowl of rice and beans as you and I are for a full-fledged Thanksgiving dinner? So little to eat. Moses, in commanding Israel in Deuteronomy, said, "And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord for the good land that he has given you." The verse that follows that is a warning. And the warning is this: do not forget the Lord your God. Forget not the Lord your God. Could that be a warning for us also? I wonder, there are two words in Scripture that I've been illustrated here this morning already that relate to Thanksgiving. The first one is to bless. Psalm says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The second word is to praise, and we've heard that illustrated this morning too. We sing that song, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Well, getting more back to my assignment, I awake most every morning with the words on my lips, "Thank you, Lord, for another day." God has been good to us in sparing us day after day. And then someone related to me, "Well, you had surgery the last year." And true, I did. I had a worn-out hip replaced. And I experienced the blessing of that every day from what I remember it used to be. (Clears throat) Lamentations 3:23. It is the Lord's mercies that we are still alive. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm thankful in another area that I was taught the way of salvation. I have a steadfast faith. I have a living hope. And I have the assurance that when I leave this world, all is well. Many people in the world do not have that assurance today. I thank the Lord for saving my soul. We sing that song, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. In the Old Testament, the emphasis of thanksgiving was on the natural things, the national things they were thankful for, how God led them through. In the New Testament, that changes a bit, and the emphasis is put on the spiritual part of our existence. We oftentimes take for granted the fact that we have salvation, but it's something that cost God his only son. I believe, to be realistic about it, we need to bring those two segments together, the natural and the spiritual, and neglect not either one of them. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We're here this morning because of that gift, because we've experienced it. In another area, I'm thankful for my family and the good relationships that we share together. And oh yes, my loving wife, who is so efficient. You know, the longer we live together, the more I realize that I need her and she needs me. And I think that's the way God wanted it to be. She's the answer, young people, to the prayers of my youth. And I think we need to keep that in mind, that God alone brings together. I'm thankful that I live in America, where we have freedom of enterprise, where we have freedom to worship like we do this morning. We sure sometimes take that for granted. And also that we have a decent economy to live in. When you think of the other parts of the world, the third world countries, I could go on. But what is it that you are the most thankful for this morning? What is it that comes to your mind first when you think about Thanksgiving and being thankful? I believe the Christians should be the most thankful people in the world. Romans 1 says that it's the wicked, the ungodly. Neither were they thankful. And so God's children, I believe, the voice of thanksgiving should come to him from us. So let's live with an attitude of gratitude. Hebrews 13 says that we are to be content with such things as we have. That's not our. That's not what the advertising establishment is about today. But we as Christians, Paul says, are to be thankful for such things and content for such things as we have. We take for granted so many things today. You go to the faucet and turn the faucet on. You get a drink of good, fresh water. You realize that there are some parts of the world where people have to walk a mile or more to get their water, and then maybe only find it in an open stream or a stagnant lake. We have so much. Let us be reminded this Thanksgiving how fortunate we are. And I would close with words from Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For me, thanksgiving begins and ends with God.
So as Vernon's and us met to plan this morning, somebody mentioned the theme or something we could use as a theme and of you know how God has met us and what we're thankful for, and I thought that's really fitting. Sometimes we have to revisit the places we've been so we can really be thankful for what we have and how God has blessed us. And there are a number of things that I could talk about this morning as it relates to us and our family and me personally. There's obviously not enough time to talk about everything. There's a lot of ways I could describe the year from my perspective with words like death, discouragement, doubt, difficult decisions, situations, and relationships. My human tendency is to remember it in those ways, but in my heart and spirit, I want to remember it as a year of deep peace and joy and God's abundant faithfulness. This week, 1 year ago, and try and get through this, was when my older brother passed away suddenly from a heart condition no one knew he had. And so, yeah, 1 year ago today was the funeral. And so this week I was reflecting on some of those things, and obviously with that 1,001 thoughts and emotions come along. So I tried to compile them into something that hopefully can encourage your hearts this morning. In reflection of my own journey, I feel like I still come up with more questions than answers, and I know that some of you have walked some of these hard places this year with death and discouragement, losing someone you love, and when a relationship is suddenly severed. There really aren't words to describe it. Death not only steals the relationship, but impacts the relationships of the ones left behind. So a couple things that I've been, questions that I've been wrestling through. And I don't have the answer, but is where God has been meeting me. How does one hold hope and hopelessness at the same time? Where do the waves of turmoil and fear meet the rock of peace? How can God seem so very far away and so very close at the same time? How can we hold so much pain and yet be comforted? Why is it so difficult to be in that moment where life and lifelessness are in the same place and the word final suddenly has a meaning that can't be found in the dictionary? How can only 12 words in Psalm 63, verse 3? I'm just going to read it. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. How can that be so hard and cold and yet so refreshing at the same time? You know, that verse is no longer just a really nice verse to me. It's been a truth to wrestle, a test of faith. Thy loving kindness is better than life. When we choose to bring the sacrifice of praise, because sometimes it really is that, a sacrifice. When we choose to bring that, not because we want to or really even feel like it, a window opens and heaven touches earth. I believe thanksgiving and praise can be expressed because of a full and abundant heart. But in times of difficulty, I believe true thanksgiving can only come from God, can only find its source in God. Hebrews 13:15 says, because of him let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. Doug had shared a quote with me. When life is the hardest, God is the closest. But isn't it in our hard places where humans meet their Redeemer, where sin meets holiness, where man meets God? For me, grief is an ongoing journey. Place of deep pain, but also surprising moments of radiant joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There have been moments of glory that really are almost too sacred to explain, because if you try and explain it, it takes away from the holiness of it. And I look at these moments as heaven-sent gifts to me and personal to me. Some of you understand this, some of you may not, and that's okay. So to answer the question, how has God met me? I'm not really sure, actually. I just know that he has. And it gives me great hope. And it gives me a reason to be thankful. Because he will continue to meet my need and your needs. And so as you, I don't know how you're coming into this Thanksgiving, but as you come, bring your sacrifices of praise. Bring your full hearts. Bring what you have. Bring your brokenness. And wait for God to meet your need. I want to just read Psalm 63, first 8 verses. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Happy Thanksgiving.
Mom asked me last week if I would talk, and I said no. And she asked me last night if I'd talk. I said no. She texted me this morning, still no, but here I am, so persistence. One of the reasons I didn't want to talk is because it feels like if I'm up here, I'm representing my family, and that feels like a big responsibility. But I'm not. I'm just speaking for myself, because we all experience the journey differently. So this is just kind of for me. So the question, how has God met you? I was thinking about that, like, imagery. It seems like if this is me and God meets me, but that's not really how it is. Like, I've been, like, all over the place. And in the past 10 months, I've been sad and mad and scared. And then I get hopeful. And then that gets smashed. And then I get confused. And then sad again. It's all a lot of different things. But I was talking to some friends yesterday at school, and for me, just the overall theme of the last 10 months is that God has given me and us peace. And I can think of, like, specific scenarios with the family, like, immediately after and everything, where it's just the peace isn't explainable. And I don't know if I've told this story at church before, but during surgery, so I had felt like peace up until then. I mean, in the mix of emotions, there's also peace. And at one point, I was, like, laying on this bench thing, and my head was on Janessa's lap. And suddenly I started to feel like, or not suddenly, it kind of worked itself up that I was feeling really anxious. Like, I got, like, really anxious, and I was like, and I don't know if she said anything, but she, like, put her hand on my head, and I just knew that she was praying for me. And it was just instant, like, that this peace just came back. And I've never felt like, that was the only time I've really felt anxious like that. And I'm glad that I had that, because I realized what this past 10 months could have been like. If that's what I'd been feeling, like, I can't even imagine. So in all of the confusion and, like, fear of the future and, you know, not knowing, I don't know how to even explain it, but it's there. And one other thing I was thinking is if I wouldn't have been a believer before this, even in, like, experiencing God's peace in my life, like, I would be a believer now in seeing Matthew's life. And I wish you guys could be in our home every day. It's the best witness to Jesus that I can think of.
Not sure what to say after that, Amy. Thank you. When Darlene asked about how has God met me this year, and it was actually a really good exercise to sit down and take a piece of paper. And my heart feels overwhelmed with how God has met me this year. And so in some ways, I don't even know where to begin. And I'll begin with one story. I had dropped Sam off at the airport at Philly, and it was August 3rd, Friday night, and that night I went to bed middle of the night, I felt this presence in the room, and I was like, well, that's strange. Sam's not here. Did his flight get canceled? Did someone bring him back? And I sort of let the thought go, but it was really a strong sense of presence. I actually reached over on his side of the bed to see if he was there, and he wasn't. And I was like, well, silly me. Tried to go back to bed, to sleep, couldn't quite. So I was on the floor doing my stretches that I do when I'm trying to sleep, can't sleep, and I still felt this presence. And I just looked into the darkness and I said, Jesus, is it you? And the word that I got was yes. And I just started to weep. The next afternoon is when Matthew had his first seizure since diagnosis. And it was probably the scariest time besides surgery of the last year. For me, personally, I was home alone. And it was a very scary time. That evening, as we were in the living room, it was sort of dusk. And I just asked Matthew, I said, Matthew, can we ask Jesus where he was? I said, do you have a sense of where Jesus was during the seizure? He said, no. I said, can we ask him? He said, sure. So I just said, Jesus, can you show us where you were during the seizure? And so I was quiet, and after a few minutes, I asked Matthew if anything came for him. He said, no. And I didn't think anything came for me. The only thing that came was a memory of a text I had sent Matthew 2 weeks before of a song that we had sung in church here that I thought would mean something to him. But I didn't remember the song. The only thing I remembered was the word abide. But I just sort of didn't think it meant anything. That night, middle of the night, in the darkness again, I said, Jesus, can you please show us where you were during the seizure? And immediately that picture came again. And not only the picture, but the words of the song, under his wings, I am safely abiding. And I went to my phone the next morning and found the text that I had sent Matthew and went and found it in the songbook. And it's been a very, very special song to me, actually. And the three seizures since then, I've held that song really close to my heart as the seizure is happening. The last seizure was October 20th. I believe it's the last. And I really do. I have that faith and I have that hope. And that's part of the tension this year is, how do you hold faith? How do you hold hope in the midst of surrender, knowing that there's no guarantee, knowing that life doesn't always work out the way you want it to? And that's been the tension ever since the diagnosis, and it's been such a faith journey for me in a way that I've never experienced before. How do I hold faith and hope in the midst of surrender? So I believe that it is his last seizure. October 20th, and it was, our whole family was home, and right after the seizure, there was this tornado. Like, it was, we were all looking out the window, and it lasted, somebody said later that it lasted about as long as his seizure lasted. And that night, when we were getting ready for bed, and Sam and Matthew and I were talking about this, and oh boy, and Sam just said, what was that about? And he's not usually one to be a mystic quite like I am. But we couldn't figure out what it was about. And then, middle of the night again, I was quietly singing, under his wings, I'm safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild. And then I just felt God saying that he was there in the middle of even that last seizure. So Matthew's pointing at his watch.
I thank God for the beautiful day today. I remember in 1977, I grew up in the church. I gave myself to God in 1977. I never run from God, never, because He got something special for me. I waiting for that. For maybe I feel I'm waiting for something good is coming. And every Wednesday, I pray around, and the store and the church and everything. I pray in the around. I never stop praying. Yeah, I read the book, the Bible, the Ruth story. Every day. I read the Bible in my room, where God is speaking to me.
All right, thank you, Jay and Norman and Kathy. It's very meaningful and heavy year. We've had a few people share how the Lord has met them. So how has the Lord met you? We have the ushers with a couple of mics, and we'd like to hear how the Lord has met you this past year.
One thing that you have to know about me is that I'm an idealist, and I love when things have a happy ending, and I read fairy tales just so I can get to the end where it's like, and they lived happily ever after, and I watch Hallmark Channel movies because I know that she's always going to get the perfect guy, and it's just going to, there's going to be happy music at the end, and it gives me all the warm, fuzzy feelings. But this past year, I've been struggling with the fact that sometimes it seems like life isn't going to have a happy ending, and it's full of pain, and it's full of struggles, and it hurts, and sometimes things don't work out perfectly. And the other day, I was reading through Romans, and I came across this verse in Romans 8. It's Romans 8, verse 18, and it says, the pain that you've been feeling can't compare to the joy that's coming. And all of a sudden, it hit me, and it like hit me right between the eyes, and I stopped, and I was like, wait, it does have a happy ending. It does have a happy ending. And no matter how many hard things we go through, and no matter how much it hurts, and no matter how hard the struggle is, it does have a happy ending. And Jesus has already won the war, and in him we are victorious. And so that's what I'm thankful for.
Thank you.
It was over a year ago that my only remaining sister was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember going outside one after I heard the diagnosis. She was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic triple negative breast cancer. I already had a sister who died of cancer 13 years ago, and this is my only remaining one. And I remember going outside and just having it out with God, like, God, what are you thinking? One down is too many. And then I realized I really have an entitlement mentality with God. I think he owes me a good night's sleep because I have trouble sleeping. I think he owes me a son who stays safe on his travels and his mountain climbing. I think he owes me a marriage that stays free of conflict. I think he owes me good kids. I think he owes me a sister who outlives me. She's younger than me. And then I realize that God doesn't owe me anything. He really doesn't. And what he gives is a gift, and what he withholds, he's still good. So I've been holding on to that tightly this year.
Thank you, Martha.
Mark. I can feel a little bit with Norman this morning. I had some surgery this summer, too, and I just thank God for the way everything went for me, and the doctors did what need to be done, I guess. But I'm very thankful this morning for all of you. These words aren't original with me. They're with Paul to the Thessalonians. We are bound to give thanks unto God for you, brethren, sisters, youth, everyone, children, because God hath from the beginning. Can you imagine that? God hath from the beginning chosen you and me for his salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. We need to be thankful we have the truth, that we grew up in Christian homes, Christian families, and the witness of the Spirit of God to sanctify us and keep us separated from the world in which we live. So, and again, I'm so thankful to God because God did a miracle in my voice this summer. I can't explain how he did it, but I was scheduled to have some surgery on my vocal cords. ENT doctor thought that's the reason I've been struggling with a clear voice and unable to sing because of that. But somehow God took away those nodules on my voice and I can sing again. So I just thank God for that. And thank God for all the healthy children among us and our grandchildren. We have a daughter that was hoping to adopt another child in Nevada this week, and they went out, great hope and expectation, but in the end, I guess the mother refused to sign off. So pray for our daughter and son-in-law because they are coming back with a hope not fulfilled. And again, we just thank God for Isaiah, the grandchild that they did adopt. And so this is life. It does have ups and downs, and as Kelsey reminded us all that we're on the victor's side, so let's continue to remember we are saved by hope. We're saved by faith through grace and saved not of works that we can do, but it's God's miracle in the lives of all of us. So let's continue to be a thankful people because there are many in the world who have not been so blessed as we have been.
Thank you, Mark. Javier has more words.
I thank God to go with me everywhere I go because I'm a bicycle rider. I go everywhere. God go with me. Because I'm faithful in God. And everywhere I go to pray every Wednesday, God go with me and the Holy Spirit. Because I remember that the young guy came to me. He got problem and pain in his hand. He need God. I was outside in the parking lot. I sat down with him. I preaching to him. I'm talking about God. I say, God is the only way to you accept Jesus right now. I pray with him. He said, Jesus. He go to church because he gave his life to Jesus.
Awesome.
In the parking lot. That's a beautiful
opportunity God gave me to pray to pray for everyone around.
All right, thank you. Out here. In the back there, up front. Let's start up here. Go ahead. There's a mic here. You're on there.
Most of you don't know me, but a few of you here in the crowd do. I know a few of you. My name is Leslie Reinford. This is my wife, Debbie. And I work with Steve at Slaymaker Group. And so they invited us here this morning. It's been a pleasure being here. As I reflected on Thanksgiving in the course of this year in particular, I realized I wrestled a little bit with to share or not to share. And I thought, you know, why shouldn't those around us know and hear the Thanksgiving from our hearts? And I would say 2018 has been a mixture for me as well. It's for the last little more than three years, my family and I lived in Ghana, Africa, and we're part of a mission work there. It's a partnership effort with Christian Aid Ministries, and it was a very rich experience. And so we moved back here at the end of July, and we live here in Columbia. And but this year, as I reflected on it, it's been a mixture of trials and great blessing. And I would say a couple of the biggest blessings that were a real inspiration for our family was in our preparation to move back. I was back for a conference in June and just a very short stint here in Pennsylvania before I headed back to Africa. And let's just say inside of 2 or 3 days' time, God provided a house for us, a job, and beyond our wildest expectations. And there's many more things to be thankful for, but those were just a few highlights for us this year that have been a very big inspiration for us. And I just want to thank God for how he's provided abundantly for us in the course of the year 2018.
Thank you. It's a good story. Mark.
Well, my heart is very full. I am certainly thankful to be part of this church, to be part of the Sunday school class that I'm a part of, to have family that are Christians and children that smile, and very thankful for my wife. But here lately, it seems, you know, this year, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of people that I know that have passed away, and up and down is the best way to put it, because I'm just going to pick two of them. One of my best friends, Larry Ressler, passed away, and I think that with him passing, one of the hardest things to wrestle with for me was to know how to best help those that are left behind. Hmm. You know, when you see the boys and the wife, and it's like you don't. It's hard to imagine what they're going through and how to help them. The most pain for me was to see their pain. In the same way when Laura passed away. You know, the hardest thing was probably watching my brother and not being able to, you know, putting a hand on his shoulder doesn't take that pain away, you know. And watching my daughter, you know, one of her best friends, and not knowing how to help. Mm-hmm. Not knowing, because I never went through it. And I miss Laura, of course. You know, she was my niece, but, you know, it wasn't one of my best friends. And so it was hard to watch those that were closest to her have that pain. And now in the last several weeks, as we've heard so much about the California wildfires, and I believe, if someone has a more recent number, you can correct me, but I think it's like 29 people have died so far. And I know one person who has lost his home, a very rich person. He's a member of an antique car club that I'm also a part of, and he lost all 36 of his antique cars in this fire. And it's not been, you know, it's been trailer courts, it's been multi-million dollar homes, and one of the cars that he lost is worth 800 and some thousand. It's a one of a kind. It was a prototype back in 1948. And when the media asked him, you know, boy, how do you feel? How do you feel? And he said, oh, I lost some cars. I still have my wife. And I just thought that was really, really the epitome of how I feel, that I still have my family. And, you know, the earthly things that we have are going to pass away. And we're going to pass away. And so relationships are the main thing, our relationship with God and our relationship with our church and our family.
Thank you for sharing that. Get up here. Daryl.
Yeah. In the past year, I've found myself being more sympathetic to the children of Israel. I experienced great deliverance personally in my life. And since then, I've found myself being frustrated when God doesn't seem like he cares or doesn't see what I'm struggling with. And so I found myself being sympathetic to the children of Israel in that way. And even those times, I do almost forget what I've been delivered from. But ultimately, I do believe that God does love me, and he does see what I'm going through, and he is my deliverer, and I'm very thankful for that today.
Thank you, Daryl. Hey, up here.
As I think about 2018, it has been kind of a year of a lot of intense change, and I really feel like God has been faithful, and he's good. And this, I made a list, and it's not all-inclusive or anything, but just off the top of my head, some of the things that I'm really thankful about. Thankful for my husband, Daniel, how he pursues and loves selflessly and the journey that he's on. I'm thankful for revival among the people of God. I'm thankful that God doesn't let us stuck in the same place. When we ask him, he moves and he leads and he teaches us. I'm thankful for what God is doing in my family, even though it's hard. I'm thankful for our Greece team and the blessing that they are. I'm thankful for a Heavenly Father who pursues me even when I don't deserve it or pursue him well. I'm thankful for relationships that are growing, both new and old. I'm thankful for financial blessing from the car accident, even though it's not a great thing that it happened. It was really kind of a blessing at the time that, yeah. Thankful for the good, safe men who have invested in my family and in me. I'm thankful for our church body, for God's timing, and I'm thankful for the Gingriches and their faith and the lives that they touch. And like I said, that's not even touching all the things that I have to be thankful for, but God is so good.
Thank you, Amber. John, back here, Mario.
Well, 14 years ago, we were on a very difficult journey, had a very sick daughter, and we were fighting for her life. And God answered many prayers and healed her. And we were never sure. We had questions of what the repercussions of that might be and whether she could even have children. And I would like you today to meet my granddaughter, Brinley Caroline. She's here for the first day. Parents are Joy and Javen sitting back there. Let's welcome her on her first Sunday.
Proud grandpa. Great. Chris.
One of the things this year has been a lot of change for me. One verse that God brought to me was Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's been hard to wait and trust in God, but as I've done that, he's brought things and people into my life that I never could have imagined. And just surrendering and waiting and trusting has been such a blessing. So if you're here today, just maybe struggling with something, trust God. It's not easy. It's been hard for me, but waiting and trusting as God on God has been a real blessing to me in this last year.
Thank you, Chris.
I just want to, I was sitting here thinking of, I didn't prepare anything, but I was thinking, like, what a privilege it is to be part of God's family. And I didn't want to just be quiet because I think this is a great opportunity to give God glory and for who he is. And just this weekend, I was reminded of how God is a pursuing God. He pursues us. And like Amber said, you know, we all want to be loved. And that's the deepest outcry of our hearts, is to be loved and to be pursued. And here is God, Christ. He pursues us with an everlasting love. And he has made us alive for those of us who are walking with Jesus, who have been covered in the blood. We have so much to be thankful for because he loves us deeply. And at the end of the day, love wins. And, you know, I was just reminded to encourage others that Jesus loves us. It's not his will that any man perish, but that all men may come to salvation. So for those of us who have loved ones, just tell them, Jesus loves you deeply, and he's pursuing you. He is not angry with you. He wants you to just come into his open arms under the shadow of his wings, and, yeah, just rest in that love. He loves us, and just like Kelsey said, you know, there is a happy ending to this story if we know Jesus.
Thank you, Rosemary. That was really good. Over here. Bethany. Someone up here? Let's start up here.
I know that I've shared this in youth group before, but I don't think I've shared it with the church. Something that, a way that the Lord has met me this year, was really in showing his faithfulness. And I think that faithfulness is something that I never really connected with, the faithfulness of God, but that he is faithful to his character. There's a verse in 2 Timothy that says, "If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we are faithless, he still remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." So this year has been a lot of ups and downs for a lot of people in this church. There's so many people here that have been touched with death. Way too many funerals this year. Watching my good friend Allison lose her dad, Jay's brother. And then Michaela Ressler lose her dad, and losing Sarah and the Oweilers and Rose Mast. It's been so much, but God's promise still stands true that there is death and there's hardship in this life, but he still brings life, and he brings his faithfulness back to us again and again. There's times that he says no, and there's times that he says wait, but it's because his timing is better. And, I don't know. That's just been so, so real to me this year. As long as I remain faithful to him, but even when I don't remain faithful to him, he still remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is.
That's hopeful, isn't it? Thank you. Bethany.
So always, every year on Thanksgiving, we like to talk about what we're thankful for. We usually write on leaves what we're thankful for with the boys. This year we tried to start on pumpkins every night, writing one thing we're thankful for. And it always is obviously family. When you have your spouse, your children, your parents, you're so blessed. You don't need anything else. But I've been reading through John. I kind of pick books of the Bible and just start reading through in the mornings. And the verse that talks grace upon grace, And this year, with Dallas getting Lyme again, it can be frustrating and it cannot be fair. And sometimes mommyhood is not picture perfect and it can be messy as well as beautiful at the same time. And I can tend to look at some of my family members, like my sister and the little baby she has, and it's like, feel so at loss, like there's no hope. You can just feel so frustrated. And I had a not very good week when I started reading through John, and I read through the verse where it talks about God giving grace upon grace, layering in grace. And I am so thankful that it's not just one day of grace, it's not one layer of grace. God wraps us around in layers upon layers upon layers as we need it. Like, he never runs out. And all I got to do is keep asking for the layers of grace. And I don't know who I told. I was like, if back in the Bible he talked about layering grace upon grace, they needed it back then, and we definitely need it now. So I'm thankful that his grace never runs out.
That's so good. Thank you, Bethany.
There's many things that come to mind. Actually, Thanksgiving is probably my favorite part of the year. One thing I wanted to highlight for us was almost the entire time that we've been married. We've been looking for a church. And it's something that for us is very serious. We wanted something that would fit our family. And a lot of the whole year, and then like especially even this today, with people sharing, you know, they share the messiness of life. And it's something that everyone has. And even Paul said we die daily because of the struggles every day. And anyway, the first time we were here, I remember having a distinct feeling that this is the church. And I think God has answered that in many ways throughout this year. And we're thankful for this church.
Thank you. Sharon. We'll make Vern the last one here.
This morning, what I'm really, really thankful for is I love children and youth. I love the energy they bring. I love their realness. You can talk to them. They'll tell you exactly how they're feeling. Sometimes I don't want to hear it, but you know where they're at. You know what they're excited about. And another thing I'm thankful for is humor. When this summer, our son fell out of the window from 12 feet up. That wasn't humorous. But the next morning, he got out of bed. He came limping out of his room, and the boys all went over to him. You know, they all came up to him. They're like, "Hey, how did it feel falling 12 feet out of a window?" He's like, "Well," he said, "the whole way down, I thought I would land on my feet, but," he's like, "I didn't." So in the midst of the chaos of what happened there, I was just, it made us laugh so bad because he was positive he would land on his feet, but he said he was spinning and he didn't land on his feet.
That's good. Well, it's good to hear from everybody. And just how the Lord's met us. So good to hear. We're going to have a worship time, and James, do you want to just have a word of prayer for the meal then, wrap it up? As they come, let's just stand, and John mentioned Javen and Joy's little baby came here for the first time, Matt and Heidi. I think it's their baby's second time. So let's welcome Anya as well. And it's also a privilege to have two of Darlene's sisters here, Veronica and Dave and Charlou. Dave and Charlou are from Wyoming. It's good to have you guys. And also Jerry and Danielle, our neighbors, are here. Some of you know them. So if you get a chance, you can say hi to them. Let's just pray. And thank you for coming this morning. Lord, thank you for all the ways that you've met us. And I think what I'm touched with, so how you do it so personally and specifically, and as big as you are, you're personal and real to this, to the unique places that we're in, and how your word speaks to us. And Lord, continue to remind us today of ways that you're around us and with us. So thank you for meeting with us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.